I want, and he'll introduce his family if you hadn't met all of them through the week, but I want you to make welcome this morning Brother Nathaniel Inslee. He's pastor of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Hillsdale, Wyoming. Amen. God bless you, preacher.
Amen. Amen. I'm not sure who he's talking about, but he got sick and I showed up, you know. And but anyhow, we enjoy our time here, looking forward to a great week. And I got some prayer cards up here. I got some Israel information if someone's interested in that. I'm going to leave that right there because I just want to get to preaching. And but anyhow, well, it's good to have my family with us. Well, most of them. Someone stole the rest of them. And they went that way. So they're my kids. They usually turn back up when they get hungry. So, but anyway, John chapter 12, as we turn there, give you some ministry information. John chapter 12 is where we're going to be at here this morning. The Lord has allowed my family and I to be in Wyoming since 2005. We recently updated our video presentation, though I did not make mention of that until just now. So you will not see that this morning. And you might not see it at all this week. But if you come back this week, you might. But if you stay home, you won't. Just saying. I mean, that's just how it works, you know. But anyhow, who's here this morning? Everyone here? We all here? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. I got a spiritual question for you. My kids are going to roll their eyes here. My wife's going to do the same. And I want to introduce them why they're rolling their eyes. When you got dressed this morning, go ahead, roll eyes now. When you got dressed this morning, and this is a fun way just to get your attention. When you got dressed this morning, who got dressed this morning? We are all thankful. And we praise Jesus that you took time to do that. And but when you, after you work your way down, I guess, and you put your boots on, and you should have boots on, amen, you know. And I'm going to let that rabbit go. But anyway, did you sit down on the couch or your chair or the fireplace, what have you? Did you do sock, then boot? Or did you do sock, boot? All right, we're going to split the church right here. Raise your hand if you're living for Jesus and you love Jesus and you put your sock, boot on this morning. Really? Y'all, man, revival needs to take place. Do that again. Sock, boot. Raise your hand. Nice. Man, that's like maybe 15 people. All right, bunch of heathens, the rest of you. Sock, boot. Amen. Amen. Man, my work's cut out for me, preacher. You know, never even think about that, do you? You know, but I'm not going to ask you about any other articles of clothing. And but it's good to have my family, my wife. We just celebrated. Today is Sunday. So tomorrow, a week ago from tomorrow, we celebrated 18 years of marriage. And so my wife deserves a Purple Heart, Medal of Honor, all of the presidential citation, whatever, not citation, that's anyway, but it's a blessing. So we praise the Lord for all that. But we're in big town of Hillsdale, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pray for our community right now. Pray for actually our tri-state area. There is about over a foot of snow on the ground right now, which is not a big deal for us. But there's another couple feet coming. And our church, I got word this morning, is out of power and out of electricity, rather. And, well, preacher, that don't make a big deal. Well, there's no power, no heat. And no heat, no moving water and frozen water. So pray for us about that and pray with us that I called the power company this morning. And they says, well, it's chance. Well, they just said they're not being real productive because the crews are already out. Praise the Lord for linemen. And boy, they are truly local heroes. And so pray for them. But they're getting stuck because there's 50 mile an hour wind and 1, 2, 3 feet of snow. You know, that makes for a whole lot taller drifts. You can do the math. There is a formula that you can fill it out. I don't know it, but it's several feet drifts, you know. And so pray for them. and all that good stuff, and pray that our pipes don't break. I mean, is that all right? You know, but pray that our ministry can be a blessing to our community here today, throughout this week as I'm away as a shepherd's on another hill. So, but good to have a couple of my kids, Jacob and Tyler, with us, the oldest two, and then the rest of the kids are back there. But it's a blessing to be here with you all this morning, and hopefully by now you found your place at John chapter 12. If you haven't by now, just listen, you know, and because you've had long enough. If I give you 5 more minutes, you're not going to find it, you know, 5 more minutes, you know. So just listen real good, and we'll do our best. But John chapter 12 is where we're going to look at, and Lord willing, unless the Lord just changes something altogether this week, we will be in John chapter 12 through Wednesday night. I want to give you, Lord willing, a series through this. And the title of the message of the series, if you will, is What Are You and I Willing to Do? What level of willingness do we have in our walk with the Lord and in our life in general? John chapter 12, verse number 1. John chapter 12, verse number 1 says, Then 6 days, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. In verse 5, we see the first Baptist that's ever spoke. That's a joke right there. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, okay, that's supposed to be funny right there. So let's try it. 3, 2, 1, laugh. There you go. Good job. Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, not because he was spiritual, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag, talking about the treasury, and bare what was put therein. He was in charge of the money. Verse 7, then said Jesus, Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us here this morning. Speak to our hearts. Father, I'm excited about the message that you laid in my heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, for just the stirring of the services already, the stirring of our hearts there. Father, I pray, Lord, just continue, Lord. Father, we often pray that to do it again, to give us a touch like you did before. But Father, I pray something a little different here this morning. Father, do it like you've never done it in our hearts here this morning, in a way that we say, God, that was you. And Father, we ask you here this morning, whatever the commandment is this morning that you give us, the answer is yes. Father, whatever the request is here this morning, the answer is yes. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will just yield ourselves to you and that we will be willing to follow your leadership in our life. Bless now as only you can. Speak inwardly to the hearts of your people through your Spirit. Father, as I try to speak outwardly. Father, we love you. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the empty manger, the empty cross, and the empty tomb, so that we can be filled with your Spirit and have a home in heaven. Father, we just want to say again, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord that we get to come together on purpose here this morning to worship our Lord. And thank you for, y'all knew I was coming and you still showed up. Praise the Lord. That is a blessing from heaven. And, you know, we're looking for a great time together. And, you know, to capture these recent months. Oh boy, this up year plus of life, of all the things that we faced. I guess the word that the media has used, and again, I'm just not political by any means, is unprecedented. I need to go Google that word so I know what that means. But the word that they use often, that we are in unprecedented times. We've never been in such locations before. Churches across the world have never done the things that we've done before. Families have never faced the things we've faced before. Can I say something? Can I challenge you here? I want to just share my heart with you all this morning. Let us be encouraged that looking back over 2020 and 19 and plus, and looking forward to 21 and 22, and I think 23 usually comes after that, can I encourage us all this morning that our God is still in full control? He is still there. He is still on the throne. He still has all things. He still does all things well. If you look at Isaiah 6, you see their seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I believe that is still going on. He's still the thrice holy God. He's still as Revelation, I believe, chapter 1 talks about, Jesus Christ is still the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. So what do we fret about? What do we worry about? Because our God is still our God. Today, this morning, this series that's been on, man, it's been on my heart. And we see it revealed here in this passage of Scripture. In our life, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, in our homes and in our churches, I asked you a question this morning, and you may get tired of hearing it by the time Wednesday night rolls around. What are you and I willing to do for the cause of Christ? Many times, at least maybe in my life and in my area of living, many times we're very clear. We got it down 3 points in a poem, and we got all the paperwork that we need of all the things we will not do. We got it clear. Bless God, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that, I'm not doing this. Is it just me here this morning? We often are very clear about what we will not do. Okay, well, that's well established. Usually most people have fully understand about all that. But that's not the question here this morning. The question for myself, for all of us here today, is what are we willing to do for the cause of Christ? Amen. You and I, we all have something to do. We should have a willingness. We see here in this passage of Scripture that there was a willingness that took place. And with the Lord being my helper, and with His Word and the Spirit that works in us, through us, in our life, in our homes, in our service to our Lord, what are we willing to do? Not what our neighbors need to do. We can talk about that later. Not what we refuse to do, but what are we willing to do for the cause of Christ? Remember 2 Corinthians 8, the churches of Macedonia? In missions world, we often think that's the passage to go to get financial money and to get money from people. But money, I believe, is brushed up against there, but it's not the main focus there. I believe the main focus of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, remember that passage? It says, "We do to wit, brethren, of the grace of God that's been bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that how they were willing of themselves, God able to use them to give beyond and all that stuff." Yes, they were able to give beyond, but before they were able to give beyond, they were willing. Verse 3 says they were willing of themselves. Verse 4 says praying us with much entreaty. They were begging. They were trying to be persuading the leadership there to let them be a part of. Verse 5 of that 2 Corinthians 8 says they gave of their own selves to the Lord. You may or may not agree or disagree with this, but to me, that passage, that churches, speaks of willingness. They had a certain level of willingness to go forward there for the cause of Christ. Can I just give you, make you excited here this morning? I got one point. I'm not going to tell you how many subpoints I have, but I got one point. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 3, and we'll do our best. I'm not going to tell you how many pages notes I have, but number one, we'll pick up number two Monday night, and so on and so forth. Number one, are you and I willing to reach our families for Christ? You know, this is revival. I believe we mentioned about missions revival as well, but before we have missions, you got to have revival. Are you willing to reach your family for Christ? Look at verse number one. And we go to verse 3 again. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So we'll stop the reading there. But the first point here today is, are you and I willing to reach our family, our families, for the cause of Christ? You know, we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We see them often together. There is, in Luke 10, we see them. Jesus is in their home. Lazarus, I believe, is not mentioned, but it's just Mary and Martha there serving Jesus. Well, Martha's serving, and amongst other things she's doing, but we won't talk all about. And then John chapter 11, we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as a family, because they're brother and sisters, if you will, siblings. But we see in John chapter 11, Lazarus dies, and then Jesus comes along, tells him to stop that, get out of there, you know. And Lazarus says, "All right." You know, he comes out, you know, from the grave he arose, you know. And so we see that. Then we see in John chapter 12, we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus here together once again. We can say this is Mary anointing the body of Christ before all the things. Well, basically before he's paying for our salvation. But notice here that the family we know about, just let me lay some foundations here this morning. Notice here that the family we know about, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were together with the Lord and with the Lord's disciples. You know, there's something to be said about that. Actually, there's a lot to be said about that. You and I can achieve a lot of things in our life. We can have all the badges that we want. We can have all the certificates on our wall that we want. We can have all the money in the bank that we want. But if we fail to reach our family for the cause of Christ, we've missed something.
Amen.
And I would say we missed something very large and very important. Are you and I willing to reach our family for the cause of Christ? You know, we can go to get the best of this, best of that. Here we see Lazarus and his family. Now, this is not mom and dad and children, but his family. We see Lazarus, they're fellowshipping with the Lord. You know, as a Christian husband, as a Christian father, as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, as I say, I like to say, as the keeper of the doctrine, if you will. There are so many things that I can get distracted with when it comes to reaching my family. I don't know if you know this or not, but pastoring is difficult. Yeah, I don't feel, yeah, I read it. I read that on Facebook. So it's got to be for true. You know, I think Abraham Lincoln said it, you know. But pastoring is difficult. Sometimes pastoring is demanding. Some areas, some people are more demanding than others, but we won't talk all about that. Some people are Mrs. Olson type, and then some, well, never mind. But we can be distracted in our Christian walk. We can get distracted about the what ifs. What if this or what if that? We can get distracted with people. Some people are very distractible, if that's the right word. I don't know. You can Google it and let me know later. We can see here what we want. We can say here what we want about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But each time we see them, they're with Jesus. They're with the Lord. They're seeking the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. In our life, and in my life here this morning, and in your life, we all can get busy. Oh, my soul, man, we've been on the road now for 10 days. 10 days? I think we left Wednesday 10 days ago, whatever it is. Wednesday night after service at midnight. Don't recommend that. I think we're about 4,000 miles, 4,100, 4,200, somewhere around there in past 10 days. Busy. I think we know where every McDonald's is at between here and there and even the other ones, you know. But, as a dad, if the Lord allows this world to continue on to another generation, that's another message, what that looks like. I would enjoy the fact that my kids are serving Jesus. Would you enjoy the fact that when you're dead and gone and you see your kids raising their kids, that your kids are in church and then they have their kids in church. Now, not just in church, not just filling a pew, but doing something for the cause of Christ. That excites me. We see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Something went right in their life. Something connected in their life. You can say what you want about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know basically what they're squabbling over? We see Mary and Martha. Lord, make Mary come and help me. These biscuits are burning, you know. They're arguing about who's going to serve Jesus. In what capacity? Who's going to serve Him and who's going to worship Him and all that stuff, you know. Folks, there's worse things to get wrapped around the axle about. If that's the worst thing we argue over, you know, who's going to serve, how are we going to serve Jesus and what capacity are we going to serve Jesus? Folks, there's worse things to get bent out of shape over. And as a dad and looking ahead at my kids and their kids, if that is the argument that's going on, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Are we willing to reach our families for Christ? And I'm getting somewhere all this. It's going to be like a just short little, what you call it. What are you and I willing to do for the cause of Christ? Will you introduce your family to Christ? Here in this passage of Scripture, this preacher, you know, but we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus with Jesus. And as we continue through this chapter, we're going to see some great things that Mary does. I'm going to give some quick thoughts about how to reach our families for Christ. Number one, receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. Luke chapter 10, we see Mary and Martha receiving Jesus in their home. But folks, before we can have Jesus in our home, we have to have Him in our life. We got to know Jesus, you know, And that's just, you can hang up all the spiritual pictures in your home that you want. You can have Bible verse all, you know, this, that, and the, you know. But if you're not walking with the Lord, if Jesus is not the center of the home, just take those pictures down. Because those pictures are worthless, if you will. And again, God's word is never worthless. But you know what I'm saying? We need to walk with the Lord. We need to fellowship with our Lord. We need to, receive Him in our home, but we need to receive Him as our Savior. Here we see in Luke 10 how He came in there. Martha received Jesus in her home. all your doing and all of our doing and all of our living and all of the whatever we do, make sure Jesus is welcomed and received in our home. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you been born again? Not asking if you're a member of the church. Not asking if you've been baptized. If you got a tie on or not. If you got boots on or not. If you put your boots on. Some of you are just weird. Do you know Jesus? Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? How can we reach our families for Christ? Receive Him, yes, in your home, but also in your life. And also move on. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Not just receive Him, but seek Him. John chapter 11, we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. And what is their first recorded response? Hey, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus here in this situation. Notice that in that response, they didn't have to go and introduce themselves to Jesus. They didn't have to go and make things right with Jesus. They already had a well-working, healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture for us here this morning. Make sure every day, good times, bad times, the in-between times, that we have a good, healthy relationship and fellowship with our Savior in heaven. Seek the Lord here. And we see when things went bad for Mary and Martha, Lazarus died. Boy, they just broke loose, didn't they? And they sought the Lord even after that they thought God did not answer their prayer. They still sought the Lord. And we see that number two, not only do we see seek the Lord, but also number three, have a real prayer life. We see that in John chapter 11. They had a real prayer life. Mary and Martha both ran to Jesus when He came to the picture there and prayed. Mary and Martha both had almost the identical prayer life, prayer, if you will. Martha comes, and you can say what we want. Martha's been thrown under the bus enough, and I'm not going to do that here this morning. She was there and she went to Jesus. Praise the Lord. She says, Lord, if you've come, my brother would not have died. I'm pretty sure Mary says the exact same thing. Mary comes, says, Lord. Now, of course, where do you see Mary? At the feet of Jesus, worshiping. Lord, if you've not come, if you've come, my brother would not have died. Same prayer as Martha. But Mary prayed, she's broken before God, and when she prayed, God moved. When she prayed, the heart of our Lord, what's the word that the Scripture used there? Nonetheless, but her prayer affected the heart of God. Do we want to reach our families for Christ? Do we want to reach the world for Christ? Do we want to reach our neighbors for the cause of Christ? The answer is yes here. But we do so through our home. Let's not sacrifice our marriage, sacrifice our families, sacrifice everything that's so precious to us for somebody else. Yes, reach someone else, but make sure we reach our family as well. We have a real prayer life, and then fourthly, we see have a real worship. Have a real worship. John chapter 12, we see then Mary, verse 3, took the pound of ointment and spikenard very costly and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house filled with the odor of the ointment. So we see not only did they receive Jesus, but they sought the Lord. They had a real prayer life, but also they had a real worship as well. You know, you can worship God at home. Boy, if COVID has taught us anything, we can worship God at home. Now, granted, you should worship God at church too. If you're able, healthy, you meet all the, I'm not trying to break anybody's rules or anything. But if you can be here, you need to be here. Remember Abraham, went up to the mountain. God says, get to that mountain. And the Bible says, and there God met him. There is where God could have got, could Abraham met God back at the tent, back at his house? Yes, he could have. But God says, I'll meet you there. Folks, this is where God wants to meet us at. This is our there, if you will. Yes, we should meet God at our home, reach our homes for Christ, have a real worship. We see Martha serving, Mary worshiping, and then Lazarus, he's just chilling. He's just hanging out. You know, he's just, I'm alive. I ain't dead no more. You know, and being silly there, but I mean, he's not recorded to do it. He's just recorded eating. You know, he's just sitting there at the table drinking coffee and eating probably a ham biscuit, probably is what he's eating. You know, folks, but I had a little delay on that one, you know, but this world, and I'm done. There's that clock. I just found the clock. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad because it says 12. My friends, my family, this world needs us to be real Christians. Needs to see us reaching our families for the cause of Christ. Yes, we reach this world for the cause of Christ, but let's not sacrifice our children, our families. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Heaven forbid that be in our home. Y'all have heard of Billy Sunday, I'm sure. If not, you can go research him. Great evangelist. I don't remember the timeline, but not this year. It was while ago. Probably an angry, drunk man. Is that how he was before Christ? Baseball player. Came to Christ. Called into the ministry. And the report goes he's seen thousands of people come to know Christ. But one of the saddest things that you hear about Billy Sunday is that he's seen thousands of converts, thousands of people come to know Christ, but his own children was lost. Our families need to see you and I, mom and dad, that are very much about Jesus. Not just a lingo, bless your heart. Not just our locations. Not just the literature that we may or may not give out. But our family needs to see a lifestyle as yielded to Jesus, as willing to serve our Lord. Are you and I willing to do what we need to do to reach our family for Christ? Whether it's our children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews. Is there any hope for in-laws? I don't know if the, I'm kidding there. I got some good in-laws, love the Lord. We need to reach our families for the cause of Christ. Often, and again, maybe I'm too blunt here this morning. I'm not as polished as most and a little rustier than most everybody else. But I'm tired of the chrome and the glass, the reflections. It's the same thing that Christ preached against to the Pharisees. Whited sepulchres. Look so pretty on the outside, but on the inside, you ain't got the goods. In our homes, in your home, and in my home, are you and I willing to reach our home for the cause of Christ? Just preaching, my kids are saved. My kids are up and grown. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bible talks about the older folks helping the younger folks. And we got grandkids maybe. I heard the best thing about grandkids is that you can give them back. Okay, I'm hearing that right. So, but anyhow, that's what's on my heart this morning. Reaching our families for Christ. Are we willing to do what we need to? Whether it's turn the TV off or turn TV on, do something, you know. I love my kids. Man, we just in a pickup. I don't know if the statute of limitations on is what's, you know, it's probably, we were in a 6-passenger pickup, and you know how many family members I have. Don't say it out loud because we're live streaming, you know. It's a blessing. Does your family know Christ? Do you know Christ? Yes, yes, praise the Lord. We encourage them to walk with Him. Then you and I walk with Him so we can help others to do the same. Brother Billy.